Crazy times.
Right? I think we're at that time where everyone's like, okay, it's been a little too long.
Yeah.
I need to get the F out of this place.
Well, I've been taking the dog to the park, so he's been really happy. That's like the first time I could take him because I always had to worry about my car being clean, and I don't have to worry about that anymore because I don't have a job. So it's cool.
Problem solved.
Yeah. So he's really happy, and that's good.
Well, y'all, you might be one host down because I'm on the front lines of everything because I'm like, yeah, I can't afford to take off. So I am just going to be doing grocery delivery and I might just keel over in a few weeks. Who knows?
I am worried about that because you're out there interacting with people every day.
Thank God there's not a lot of people out in the grocery stores lately.
True.
I'm sanitizing. I sanitize my car before and after each time I do a grocery delivery. And now we don't even interact with the customers. We just drop it off at their door.
Oh, boy. I can't even imagine being out there right now.
It's kind of fun.
I'm scared to go out of my house.
There's nobody on the roads.
Wow.
I feel like we should talk about what's going on and how we're each dealing with it and how it's been for us.
I have started listening for the first time in my whole entire fucking life, screamo rock music.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
It's relaxing.
Sammy is so open-minded. What?
I know. Do you hear how she shut that down so fast? I don't even know, Tammy. God damn.
Everything you do is wrong, Josh.
And Josh is like, I found something that works for me.
I don't even know why it works either. Like,
I mean, so Josh, honestly, first you are like flipping out about Stevie Wonder, which, what?
It's the most relaxing thing. I'm in my car and I'm like, all of a sudden I hear like the rock band going and I'm like, oh, it's so relaxing.
They get me.
It's so weird.
So you're losing it, huh?
I must be like about to snap.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
I even listened to like Def Leppard the other day and hey, I'm like, I don't even know
hey,
what.
Don't go there, please. I went to a Def Leppard concert when I was 16 years old. Don't you dare.
I don't know, goddammit. It snapped. Something snapped, Tammy. Okay?
My brain broke back to the 1980s.
This is
Overshared,
a rideshare podcast with Tammy.
What is wrong with you? Like, that's not how you hit on a girl.
Tara.
It just gets funnier the more you say it.
And Mark. He's a man of few words. And myself, Josh. I don't know. And so I just drive off in shame. We have no clue where you're going, but we're definitely going to get you there. Buckle up, bitches.
There were these three guys that I picked up on the east side, and they were just going over to Dirty Six. And it was a really busy night. It was like a Friday or Saturday. They were from some other country, and they had thick accents. I don't remember what country, but the cute kind, you know. They had like the really sexy accents.
What is the uncute kind?
America. Like, they were either about America.
They were either British or French, you know. They're sexy kind of sounding. But anyway, they were asking me questions. I don't remember what they were asking me, but it was cool questions. It wasn't like weird or anything. And
you know, cool questions are just questions that come from hot guys. That's what I hear when you say that. I mean, if it's a hot guy talking, it's automatically a cool question.
She was like, they talked sexy to me. And then you're like, well, what did they say?
I mean, really,
how are you?
I mean, really, honestly, I just like to hear their voices, but it's okay.
They read the phone book.
But no, the third guy, I don't know what he was going through. He was definitely going through something. I don't know what. He looks at me in the mirror, you know, so we can make eye contact. And he said, can you just tell me if there's any good in the world? And I said, of course there is. And then he said, where is there good in the world? It was a weird moment because his friends were in party mode. Everyone in the town was in party mode. Like, it was like a hyped up night. The energy was high and everyone was just like everywhere. And he shut them down from asking like regular, normal talk and regular questions. And he said that because he must have been going through a heartbreak or something bad happened, you know. And for the rest of the ride, which was only like 2 or 3 minutes, I was like, look at that, look at that. And I just kept pointing out, you know, pretty things and nice things. And I said, if you just start looking around, you're going to start seeing the good in the world, but you have to try to see it. You have to try and see the good. You have to try and see the people with the soft eyes, and you have to try and see the kindness and the warm hearts and the things that you want to see exist, but you're just looking at it wrong. And so we stopped at the end of 6th Street where the barriers are and you can't go any further. And there were cars everywhere and people everywhere. And I had my blinkers on and his friends got out. I turned around and I just held his hands. I held one of his hands with both of my hands. And I looked him directly in the eyes and I said, I promise you that there's good in the world. Please try and find hope. And he like teared up and we just had this really beautiful moment where he believed me. And I don't know how long he had been going through that, or I don't even know what he was going through. But those are the moments in rideshare where I know why I'm doing this job. I know why I exist in the world, because I needed to have that perspective so that he had something to hold on to in the world. And I know that I gave that to him and that felt good.
And I think that a lot of times you're exactly where you're meant to be.
Yes.
You know, yes. You were there so that you could meet him that night, so that you guys could make that connection and have that interaction.
And all that happened in 5 minutes. Things like that happen, and you know to your soul why you're alive, and you know that you're making a difference. What if that guy was going to commit suicide that night? Or what if he just really wasn't okay and he just needed one little glimmer of hope? Thank God I was there to give him that. And my thing that I say constantly is, I am where I'm meant to be. It's really easy to start driving to where you think you'll get a better ride or it's busier or whatever. And I always will stop when I get like in my head about it and I start going, I should do this or I should do this or I should do this. I will stop and I will just pull over and I will close my eyes and I will say, I am where I'm meant to be. And then I will ask God to please direct me. Where are the people that I need to meet? And where are the people that need to meet me? And every time I do that, the next people that get in my car are beautiful, wonderful people that I need desperately and that need me.
So you've actually taught me how to make this job almost a spiritual practice. Because I used to be very strategic. And this job really highlights really beautifully how you are always where you meant to be. Like, yes, when you work a 9-to-5 and you live life, you get glimpses of that, right? Like there's moments where I'm sure, Tara, you know, you go, oh, I'm definitely where I'm meant to be. You have kids and all this. But this on a daily basis really highlights.
Well, this is an extreme human experience.
Oh,
this is like, this is 15 minutes at a time that you're meeting a new person and you're meeting people from all over the world. You're with people that you would never, ever experience in another way.
Yes. And I think that's what makes the conversations get so deep sometimes, is because you do realize very fast. Yes, I do think that sometimes you're just a filler in somebody's life. You know, like we're all playing characters in this world. And sometimes you're like a very insignificant character. And there's a ride maybe that you don't have a conversation with. But that's okay. I was just meant to be a safe ride from A to B. And that's my place in his life.
Sometimes you're just the transportation from point A to point B.
Well, if it's other movies, sometimes you're just the bit part or the extra.
Yes.
Which is fine. Other times you're actually a player in the scene.
Yes. I now start my day with the intent. And I always pray, you know, show me the rides and the people that are meant to be with me.
Whenever I start trying to control my environment too much, I literally will pull over anywhere and just put on my blinkers. I will close my eyes for maybe 3 seconds and I will just say, God, please show me who it is that I am meant to talk to or to help. And who is it that is supposed to talk to me and help me? Because it's so both ways. How do I need you and how do you need me?
It does work both ways. I mean, that's actually the story I wanted to share with you guys tonight. I know we've talked about overshared, but this story like really haven't told people just because I feel like it's such an overshare kind of story. I'm always comfortable sharing people's low moments, like not low moments, but those touching moments. But then there's some that I feel are very personal. When I started Rideshare, I wasn't in a great place in life. And so this was part of my rebuild and my retrust in humanity and learning how to navigate this world again. And there were some like really low moments. And then there were some really great moments. And for whatever reason, a couple years ago, I had this night where I was not okay. I just wasn't. And no matter who I talked to, nothing was giving me hope. Like in my hope bank, there was just nothing left. Like, and I couldn't fill it. And so I went out that night with the intent, because I knew people would be in my car and there'd be some type of exchange and it would fill my hope bank up to like something that felt livable again.
Something you could hold on to
again. Yeah, something I could hold on to, because I don't have those nights where I just don't know what would happen. But really that night, I went out with the intent that if something major didn't happen, I didn't know how morning would come. I was that low and I didn't know really what I was going to do. And I was on the east side and I get this request and this girl gets in my car and she is literally going 6 blocks. Normally I've been like, oh, great, a 6 block, like 2 minute ride. Like you could have walked. And she walked in with this burst of like this bright light energy. And I could feel it. Like I didn't know what the hell was, what was wrong with this girl or what she was doing. But like this energy was just magnetic.
Some people and, just shine.
Oh my gosh, she was glowing. Like yeah. You could see the glow. Yeah. And she was just radiating. And I just quickly asked her, I was like, oh, what do you do? She's like, oh, I'm an art teacher. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And we just kind of had this really quick exchange. And literally 1 block away, she looked at me. And for no reason, she's like, so when's your birthday? And I told her my birthday. And I don't know, sometimes people, you know, like they love astrology. And like, I thought she was going to give me some like weird reading or something.
Like Tammy or I would.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I was like, going to say exactly like I would.
You're looking at us like, you know, like you guys.
Kinda, I'd be like that. What's your birthday? What kind of person
you are. Let me do your number. So I thought it was going to be like a bullshit. And she just looked at me. Her face lit up. And she looked at me and she smiled. She goes, oh my God, you have a rebirth coming. Mm. And I stopped and I was so low at that point. I actually freaked out, because when I heard rebirth, I first thought reincarnation. I was like, oh, this bitch really knows. Like, I'm going tonight. I must be that low. And she's sensing like, so I was worried, like panic, actually. Like, it didn't comfort me.
Yeah.
When she said
it. Well, because you didn't know what rebirth meant.
No, she said rebirth. And so she starts to get out of my car. And I was so scared at this point because I was so low. And she said I had a rebirth. And so I'm freaking out. I was like, oh, she knows I'm going to reincarnate into like a caterpillar. Cool. So I asked her, I was like, hey, lady, like, by the way. No, I said it's so nice, much nicer than that. I was like, I have a question. She turned around and her eyes just kind of lit up. And I was like, you said I have a rebirth. Is this like a spiritual rebirth or a physical rebirth? Like, I wanted clarification.
Yes.
And she looked at me with the most smiling eyes and she goes, oh, honey, the things that are coming, they're going to be so worth it. And you have a whole new life ahead of you. Mm-hmm. And like that, I tear up thinking about it. Mm-hmm. That still to this day, whenever I go through something hard, I hear her voice. And she just left. It was the quickest ride. I always still to this day refer to her as my ride share angel, because she literally like,
she came to give you hope.
Oh my God. She gave me hope even to this day when my hope is low sometimes, which never like that. Her words and her face and that energy that she brought to my car still to this day impacts me. And whenever I hit a place where I don't think life, you know, is going to work out in my favor or something, some sad story I'm telling myself.
When you're being dramatic.
Yes, just a dramatic person like I can be. I always refer to her because she always pops in my mind. And that was literally a life-changing ride.
That's amazing. I have had so many experiences with people like that, that it has just been a 5-minute exchange and they have literally changed my life, that I will think about it for the rest of my life, just that 5-minute thing that I heard really changed my entire outlook or the direction I was headed in. And I know I've done that for people too.
Yeah.
We have always moved a lot in our lives, and I'm not the best about keeping in touch with friends, but I've learned to just accept that and let people go freely in and out of my life, because I truly believe that it's not about how long you're in each other's lives. Sometimes you're just supposed to sort of pass through and do that one thing. Mm-hmm. And it can be a life-changing thing, whether you were friends for a month or 10 years.
Or a minute.
Yeah. We're just meant to interact with each other and help each other on the path.
We're meant to impact each other and grow each other and move each other. Like, you know, that's our experience.
The crazy thing was, she gave me so much hope. Mm-hmm. That it broadened how I dreamt, how I saw life, how I interacted mm-hmm. with life, to even think I would go from where I was in that moment to even dream big enough to be sitting here with you guys and talking in a microphone, hoping somebody would listen. I would have never got to a place where I even thought this was possible. So she was totally right. There was a total rebirth. And I think this adventure is part of it.
I do too. Like, as soon as you said it, the first thing I thought was, you know, this podcast, and not just this podcast. I mean, because I see big, beautiful things for you that don't even have to do with this podcast. Yeah. I see it too.
Yeah.
You know, I see exactly what she was talking about.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. It works both ways. Mm-hmm. You touch so many people in your rides. Mm-hmm. I do too. And we just never know, like that man that you drove, you know, not finding hope in this world. And you were able to point out and restore that.
I knew that he looked me in the eyes because he knew that I had the answer. And I didn't know that I had the answer. I just let the answer come.
Well, and I think people are only hearing you through audio. And I don't know if that translates or not. But if they had the experience of being in the room with you, just like how I would describe that woman based on what you were saying, some people just shine. Yeah. And Tammy's one of those people. You just shine. Oh. I mean, you walk into a room and, you know, you have that charisma. People know when they meet you, they know.
I always want to believe that that's true when people say things like that.
Yeah, can I tell you? It's really true. When I first met you, she was in a group of drivers. There was like 10 drivers. I will never forget this night. It was right after.
Guys are going to make me cry.
No, I'm serious. I sat there for the first time with all these drivers that I knew from, I worked for a rideshare company that filled in the gaps when some of the bigger companies had left town. And so I knew a lot of the drivers, but when I went back into the driving community myself to be a driver again and left the company, you know, then I got to really meet everybody again in a different way.
When I really got to know you.
You walked in that night. And again, you know, life was just starting to become a little less hazy, a little less, you know, like it felt like normal life again. And you had walked in and something, it was like a light just shining around you. And I immediately knew, in not a weird way, I knew it was like something in my soul recognized something that said, this lady has the answers, follow her. And so I got to know you for a couple more months and a little while went on in our friendship. It was cool. You were the cool, like hippie lady who showed us what crystals to use and how to fix your life through that.
Asked you what your birth date was.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
I did your numerology.
Yes. And so like stuff like that. And I was like, oh, she's kind of a cool chick. And we had an okay friendship.
Yeah.
And one night you and I drove out to, there's a big racetrack in Austin that also does concerts. So it's a 2-for-1 racetrack and concert venue. And it's really far away from downtown. So it's like a 25-30 minute ride. And her and I knew each other enough to text each other. And we're like, hey, we're going out to
Dakota,
which
Circuit of the Americas.
Circuit of the Americas.
Yeah. For people who don't know.
Yeah. And they had some country guy singing.
Luke Bryan.
Some country guy that I don't
know. People who don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
Josh. I only know that because my cousin's daughter's obsessed with him. And when we posted that picture from that night,
oh my God.
She went crazy.
Really?
So, yeah.
So we went there just to freaking just pick a good ride up and mm-hmm. take him into town. Well,
we had a lot of time to wait. We always take walks if we have time. So we took a walk up to where the entrance is, and we were listening to the music from the other side of the gate, and we were talking about life. I'll never forget that night.
I know.
That night was life-changing.
That was the night that her and I made a pact together that we were going to change how we did things.
We were going to make life worth it.
Yeah. And that's when
both of us were not okay. Like, you told me that night, you were like, I don't think I'm going to live much longer. And I was like, are you crazy? And I just looked at you and I was like, whatever. And you're like, I'm not kidding. I don't see anything. I don't see anything in my future. And I just looked at you and I was like, Josh, of course you have a future. No. You know?
Do you know the funny thing was? That was the point in my life that I kept asking God, what's next? And the only thing that kept coming back was the word legacy. And I couldn't see past 30.
Mm-hmm. That's what you said.
And I couldn't see past 30. And I kept praying. I said, I need guidance. I need guidance. I heard legacy. Mm-hmm. Well, you hear legacy. You can't see past 30. And I thought, well, I build a legacy now because apparently I'm not living too much longer. Mm-hmm. And it brought me into this really like sad place. And what I had
you were so lost that night, like so lost. And you just looked at me and you're like, well, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. I mean, like,
she didn't give me much hope. She was like, I don't fucking know either. I
mean, because that was when I thought about, I was like, well, I'm thinking about becoming a life coach. What do you think? Or I said, I'm thinking about becoming a life coach. It looks like something that, you know, makes sense to me. And you're like, well, what's life coach? And we talked about it. And then you went home that night and signed up to be a health coach.
I did. That was the night that inspired me to become a health coach.
And we've been on that journey together ever since.
Yeah, we've been like connected at the hips. Like,
yeah,
that is where our real, true friendship really, really started. It was that night.
It was that night.
And that actually, you know, making that first effort to become a health coach actually opened up the doors and opened up my world. And then I realized that the legacy I was supposed to make was impacting this world and really, really is building a legacy. But my future opened up. I saw my future and I saw my 40s and I saw, you know, I saw pieces of my life and I was like, oh, it's just this other part had to die. And I was looking at the death part of it, of my life and how everything that I knew in that moment was going to fall away. Mm-hmm. It was really a true rebirth.
I was going to say, you know, I mean, that makes sense in numerology. When somebody has a number of rebirths, it means different things depending on where it's at. But those things sometimes sound like really negative, scary things, you know, but rebirth is never a bad number.
It's a beautiful
numerology.
Thing.
It's a wonderful number.
Yeah.
So if it was, say, in the mental plane, the mental area of life, it means a mental breakdown. And that can sound really scary, but that person that becomes afterwards, what comes out of those ashes, you know, like the phoenix that rises, is like a much stronger, more amazing person.
Yeah.
You know, it's what gets you to all the places you want to be.
Yeah.
A rebirth isn't bad. It's hard. It's hard to go through. I'm not minimizing it.
No.
I'm not going to minimize it. I'm just saying it's worth going through.
It is. It is so worth it. Look, that night.
Well, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That was a little more than 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
And now we're both certified coaches.
Yep.
We have walked this journey together. We've gone through the ups and the downs and, you know, all the things. And now we're doing a podcast. I mean, we have big goals now,
like
really big goals.
That's why we dive in so quickly.
Well, that's why rideshare is amazing. Oh. It's the biggest, best social experiment I've ever done.
Well, it's kind of like speed life coaching.
It is.
Or like speed dating. It's speed life coaching.
Oh, I mean, and it's really cool too. I've been on the reverse side where like I drove somebody and I was like, hey, how's your night? And he's like, oh, not good. I'm headed to see my girlfriend because she's staging an intervention. And I was like, I'm sorry. And
for he's him?
Like, and and he was like, well, I'm a heroin addict. Oh. And we had like 2 minutes. I had to sit there and think of how can I impact this man in 2 minutes enough to bring up enough hope and enough curiosity to see what the next part of life had in store
to keep
for him.
His mind open for that intervention so that hopefully he could be able to receive it.
Yes. And to receive it where it didn't sound like bullshit.
Right.
But those are moments where in coaching, you would have an hour session and you would kind of help and talk. And this makes you really good at life coaching.
It makes you good at honing in. Yeah. And shifting the perspective.
And you're looking for the biggest needle mover.
Sometimes if you just get the ball rolling, it's enough to keep the momentum in the right direction.
Yes.
And that's what I think with that guy that you had in the car who just needed to know that there was good in the world. What they always say about suicide is that it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yes.
And the thing about it is that you guys now know it's 2 years later from, say, a really low, and now you can see that things could be better. All you needed in that really low moment was just a glimmer of hope to get you through a little bit so that you didn't have a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yep.
You know, so just giving somebody just that little bit of hope, you could be saving lives for all you know.
Yeah.
At the very least, you're making things more bearable, but you could also legitimately be saving lives.
Yeah. It just reminded me, though, of a funny backstory. Do you remember the night that we were just talking about out at Coda?
Yeah.
Do you remember that we left without a ride?
Yes. I know. You drive all the way out there.
We drove all the way out there. We stuck around for the concert, listened to it for like 30 minutes. We had this big life-changing moment. And then we didn't get a fucking ride out.
And we had to drive back.
And so her and I had to just chalk it up to we were where we were meant to be.
Yeah.
And something must have changed the direction of our lives somehow.
Well,
that it was worth not getting a fucking ride. We had 3 hours of our life we didn't get paid for. But look how it paid off in the end.
Well, exactly. It led
that's
to all
the thing. I know. Like, if we didn't do that night, we wouldn't be sitting here today.
No.
Me and you may have never bonded the way that we have.
Never.
You know? And we certainly wouldn't have became coaches.
And had we had a ride early, would we have bonded like we did? Who knows?
You wouldn't have had the time to.
We were so desperate for a ride, we turned our app on because it's closest passenger to closest driver. That's how they calculate it. All the drivers were sitting over in a lot, and we turned our apps on and we walked to the front gate.
That's why we walked to the front.
Yes.
Probably,
We were walking to the front because we were like, oh, people are going to request. All the drivers are over there.
Yeah,
so we're standing here, we're going to get
totally
first.
Fucked us over, as usual.
Did it fuck you over? Was it smart enough to know you weren't on the street? Is that why?
I have
Who
no idea.
Who knows? Do you know
Divine
what I think?
Divine intervention? I don't know, but we left moneyless.
I think the algorithm only picks up in that parking lot because that's where we're supposed to be. That's probably what happened.
I don't know what happened.
Did everybody else get rides?
Yeah. Yes.
We were left. Drivers were fleeing. And
we were all getting the rides. And it was surging like crazy. And we couldn't get nothing.
And you just needed to get in your cars probably.
Yeah. And drive home.
Yeah.
And think about what just happened. We did. And look where we are now.
Where were you? Right where I was meant to be.
Right? Yes, I was where I was meant to be.
That's awesome. Remember when passenger vomit was our biggest health concern? Ah, the good old days. Okay, so we don't really miss the puke, but we do miss you guys. This would be a great time for you to go to overshared.org and submit your crazy rider and driver stories. I know we'd be really happy to hear from some new people right now. And Tammy and Josh are definitely missing their passengers. They'd love to reminisce about the way things were. And who knows? Your story might even be featured on the podcast. We love that you're out there listening and sharing. It makes our day just a little bit brighter. We want to brighten your day too. We're going to do our best to record remotely and mix in a few stories from the past. With a little humor and a whole lot of heart, we can all get through this.